a few minutes, we are going to be celebrating the Lord's Supper. And the way that we do that is I'm going to ask you to come down this aisle here. So if you're seated in this side, you just kind of go to the back and come down this aisle. Cup your hands, okay? If you can do two hands, I know it's not the guy thing to do, but to do two hands, because when I pull off a piece of bread and drop it, I shake, remember? I got tremors, and I wouldn't want it to go, woo! So if you give me a wide area, I can drop it right in there, okay? So then you can eat it, and then take the cup and drink it, and then return to your seats. A couple weeks ago, after Bible study on Sunday, like a lot of us normally do, just kind of gather around talking, and Mike and Kathy Martin were sharing their experience of being in one of our local fast food restaurants that week. And they said that they, I'm not going to name names, okay, but they said that they had gone in and they were eating, and there were a couple people with them in the dining room, and they had watched all the employees kind of exit the eating area, the place, the facility, just kind of locked the doors so nobody else could go in. And they were just gathering right outside, just having a good old time, you know, chatting. And I said, Mike, I said, what were they talking about? Were they angry at everything? He said, no, they were just sitting around, just having a good time, just chatting up. It's really strange. And then he shared how they went for breakfast. And as they walked in the door, the woman who was ready to take their order was just irate at something, just, you know, livid, and was letting a few choice words fly about the business company that she worked for, maybe her boss, and she was just letting it fly. And Mike said, told Kathy, said, yeah, this is the kind of time when you get your food spit in. We're gonna turn and go out, you know. But can you imagine for a minute? Remember that show Undercover Boss that was out a couple years ago, or where a hidden CEO would be there? Could you imagine if they knew that situation in their company, how they would respond? Because it was obvious. It was obvious that their employees were not representing the business very well. Last week, we talked about how Jesus came to earth. And when he came to earth, he came to establish the kingdom of God. And this kingdom is different, radically different than any other kingdom that has been on the earth since the beginning of time until now. Okay? We call it Jesus' upside-down kingdom. And we know it's upside down whenever you read the Sermon on the Mount, the teachings on the Sermon on the Mount, okay? And some other teachings of Jesus. They're just really, really radical. But what Jesus did then was invited us. He invited people to follow him and join him and follow him by obeying his teachings and be a part of this upside down kingdom. And one of the things we talked about last week is that we, as Christians, we are citizens of this kingdom, of this new kingdom of God. Paul talked about it, that we are ambassadors of Jesus Christ. And so we want to represent Jesus and the kingdom of God and the teachings of Jesus out in the rest of the world. Now, when it comes to politics and political engagement, we want to represent Jesus well, even in that area, okay? We don't get a pass. We don't get a pass on that area. Jesus did not say, love your neighbor as yourself, unless they're part of the other political party. He didn't say that. I was talking with a friend this week, and we were kind of discussing this. He goes, yeah, I keep waiting for the command that says to hate your enemies and say bad things about them because I got a long list. But that's not out there, right? And so a good question for us to ask is this. How are you at loving your political neighbor or your political enemy? How are you at doing that? One of the things I like to do whenever I go hiking and go up into the mountains of Shenandoah National Park is, you know, at the overlook, and I just take it all in, take the beauty all in, and then inevitably there is the big bird that comes flying by. you know, whether it's a vulture or a hawk, or sometimes I've seen an eagle up there just soaring by, and they just take it all in. And they get into those thermals, they're called, these heat columns of hot air that rise from the earth. And these big birds find those thermals, and they get into them, and it takes them higher and higher. And by staying in that thermal, these birds continue to rise, and they hardly ever flap their wings. It is amazing when you watch them. They hardly ever flap their wings. They're almost at rest, just enjoying that pleasure of flight, being led by that thermal wind. The Greek word for wind is also the same word for spirit. And in the book of Galatians, the Apostle Paul talks about that as we live our lives, we're led by one of two ways. We're either led by our flesh and our desires, or we're led by God's spirit, by God's wind. And there are evidences, he says. We can know, we can look in our life, and there are evidence that we can recognize what we're being controlled by. Are we being controlled by our desires, or are we being controlled by God's spirit, God's wind? And he says in Galatians chapter 5, he says this, the acts of the flesh are obvious. And he lists a whole bunch of them, and I picked out a few for what we're talking about today. The acts of the flesh are obvious. Hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy. But then he says, but if you are controlled by God's wind, the wind of God's Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So a question for us this morning that we're talking about following Jesus in an election year, when it comes to your politics and your political engagement, do you have a Galatians 5:19 through 21 politics or a Galatians 5:22 through 23 politics? For a moment, I want you to imagine you've got a nice piece of pie in front of you. Be whatever flavor you like. But I want you to imagine that pie represents your free time. Not the time where you work or, you know, you're being productive and there are things that you have to do at home, but your free time. And I want you to think about how big of a piece of pie represents the time that you are involved with media, with hearing and watching the news, listening to political stuff or the news or social media. How big of a piece of pie out of your free time is involved in doing that? And then I want you to imagine another piece of pie, and that is how much of your free time, how big of a piece of a slice of piece of pie is spent on growing closer to Jesus and growing your faith. I just imagine, what if the ratio? Now, it's obvious that first one is going to be larger. You know, I mean, in my life, it's larger too. But what is the ratio? Is it a big chunk for media and social media and then just a wee little sliver? Right? Here's the deal. We are not neutral in this. We are affected. God created our brains to follow something. That's the way he made our brains. We're not neutral. All of us are being discipled and being influenced by someone or something. Here's the deal. We get to choose who disciples us. We get to choose. It can be from the world and the things of the world, or it can be from Jesus. So what I want to look at this morning, how do we foster this fruit of the Spirit attitude in our politics, that we are more influenced by Jesus? And the first one is, number one is this, and that is this. See week one. A lot of you traveled last week. That's good. I hope you had a great time. But I also hope that you would go back and listen to week one. I'm not a big proponent of, hey, did you catch me last week? You know, I'm not into that. But this is a 3-week series, and I kind of laid the groundwork over there about following Jesus in an election year. And one of the hints that I'll give you is this. A key to it is this: more Jesus and more Bible. I was talking with someone this week, and they made the comment, which I'm sure we all said one way or another, man, I don't know how we're going to get through this election year. Right? We kind of identify with that. And you know, when that person said that, you know what I said? Oh, I know. I preached on it this past week. I know how. Right? And that is, we double down on Jesus. We get more Jesus and more Bible in our life. We make that a habit. Wouldn't we say the same thing if you were in a serious car accident or you had a serious medical issue? What would you do? Oh, please pray for me, you know, because I've got this, and Lord, help me out. Why wouldn't we say the same thing during a crazy election year that we're going through? Does that make sense? So let's do it. Let's not just say, hey, good idea, Greg. Let's go home and do it. And so you're getting that twice, right? So see, week numb. Number two is this: detox from media. Detox from media. TV and social media, okay? Now, I use the word detox there because there is an addictive nature to television and videos and social media. It literally does change our brain. The video, watching it literally changes our brain, and there's hits of dopamine with everything that we watch to tell us, watch again, come back again. Come back. Science has proven this. I'm not just like, oh, Greg's out there. No, they'll tell you that. A little bit of reading will tell you that. You watch your favorite TV news channel. They often say, they are meant to say, outrageous and shocking things. Okay? Especially about the other side. That's just the way because they have discovered that's what keeps your brains wanting to come back and watch again and again and again. That's why a lot of those programming is called infotainment. Infotainment. In other words, they're not just giving you the news. They're entertaining you with it so that you'll come back and watch again. There are algorithms on social media. I discussed this with some of you. This is easy to find out as well. There are algorithms on social media that if you click on a certain post that you like, that computer algorithm remembers that, it'll send you a bunch more. You send you a bunch more, just like it, just like it, just like it, just like it. And pretty soon you find yourself that if anything is outside of that, you're like, whoa, that must be really crazy. And because what ends up, you end up living in your own little echo chamber. And you never can, it's just hard to get out of it. And so if somebody comes along that thinks differently than you, you're thinking, oh, they're wacko, they're crazy. Because all you've heard is in your own little echo chamber. That's what they do to us. Okay? That's what social media does. And so this is hard. There are things that are working against us. Plus, we live in a time, I found a new phrase out there, where people are conflict entrepreneurs. Conflict entrepreneurs, people who come on the scene and say, everything is about to be lost. And so desperate times call for desperate measures. And so what do you end up doing? The ends justify the means, right? Things like, this is the most important election in our lifetime. I've heard that every 4 years, as far as I can think back. Our time in front of the TV, our time in social media, it does affect us. So detox, okay? Turn it off. Take a break. Do something else. Read. Do puzzles. Do a craft. Get a hobby. Pick up your Bible. Do nothing. Pray. Sit in silence. Take a walk. Detox from media. This is important. That's hard. It's hard because our brain's telling us, oh, it's good stuff on there. And so this is hard stuff. Number three, there's another important thing. Celebrate the unity of the body of Christ. If you have your notes there, I want you to circle that word unity. And even circle the word celebrate, because this is a big deal. Okay? This is a big deal. The Apostle Paul wrote some of his letters to churches who were going through political turmoil. They had political turmoil, not like we are experiencing it, you know, with government, but within the church. What was going on was that there were, you know, the first Christians were Jewish Christians. That just made sense. But as the gospel began to spread, these Gentiles were coming to Christ and beginning to follow Jesus and getting saved. And so, man, you had more and more people coming to Jesus. And so this was great, but the Jewish Christians were saying, oh, we're so great. We're glad you're coming to Jesus. Here's what you need to do to be a good Christian. You need to eat these foods. You need to wash your hands in this fashion. You need to observe these holidays. And you need to get circumcised. Oh, wait, what? And so all of a sudden, these Gentile Christians are like, we didn't grow up like that. You guys grew up like that. We didn't grow up like that. We love Jesus. We love following Jesus. We love the freedom in Jesus. We can't do that. And so there was an issue. They would just say, hey, listen, if you're a good Christian, this is what Jesus did. He was a Jew, so it just makes sense. And they're like, ah. And so there was problem. And so then there were divisions and fighting, and they would come together for the potluck, and guess what? The Jewish Christians sit over here. The Gentile Christians sit over there. There were arguments. Who's right? Who's right? And the Apostle Paul comes on the scene and says, no, no, one body. We are united. We are one body together. Everybody is important. In fact, he said in Galatians chapter 3, he said this, so in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, neither male nor female. And if Paul were here, he would say, there's not Republican and Democrat if you're in Christ Jesus. That's what he said. You are all one in Christ Jesus. And so we've got family in here. Do not discount that. Your brothers and sisters in Christ, and you have more in common and more of a common bond with one another than those who vote the same way you do. You need to understand that. God says this is more important, this is most important than anybody who votes just like you. Number four, and so where there are differences, exhibit healthy disagreement. Here's the deal about this. It's nice on paper, right? But our minds are not wired like that. Our minds are not wired to hold things in tension. You know, I have conversation with you, and we start talking about politics, and I'm one way and you're another way, and it's like, oh man, I like them, but now they vote like this. Oh, you know, it's like, ah. And we just agonize. There's anxiety and all that. And so now I know. And so because I know that they're like that, it's just easier then for me to ignore that person. They vote like that. To ignore them. To dismiss them. Or if I have to talk to them, I end up yelling at them, or I type in all caps. Right? That's easier than listening to their side of the argument or sitting down and having a discussion. But the way of Jesus is patience. The way of Jesus is listening and understanding and trying to understand. That's the way of Jesus. The 24-hour news shows and social media do not exhibit healthy disagreement. I'll tell you that right now. And you know that, and I'm not telling you anything new there. So be aware of it, right? We are called to be different. We are called to be different. And finally, number five is this. Use restraint, intentionality, in other words, be purposeful, and care in your public speech, whether that's what you say or what you post. And I'm just going to share scripture with you. I'm just going to let the Word of God speak to this, Okay. James chapter 3, it says this, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who've been made in God's likeness. That's why. That's a great verse. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Colossians chapter 4, let your conversation be always full of grace. Ephesians 4, therefore each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. We are followers of Jesus. We are ambassadors for Jesus. We don't get a pass on our speech or our Facebook posts during this political year. I was thinking this week, when I had that conversation with someone who was just dreading the election, I began to think, what if the church, we as the church, did not dread this upcoming election, but we looked forward to it as an opportunity to showcase to the rest of the world, to unbelievers, this is how Christians act. This is how followers of Jesus are supposed to respond during divisive times. This is what it means to be a Christian, not just a set of beliefs and I go to church every once in a while, but I treat people as like they are made in the image of God. And we celebrate our unity despite our political differences. We have an opportunity moving forward in this election year where we can just say, yeah, I've got Republicans and Democrats in my church and they're good people and I worship with them every week. What an opportunity. What if the real opportunity here in this election season was not to save our country and to get out and vote, but to display what Jesus' upside down kingdom is all about by the way that we live our lives. And so we come to the table this morning. And we call it communion because we commune with Jesus Christ. Right? We take symbols of the body of Jesus and the blood of Jesus. We ingest that. We commune with Jesus in the spiritual fashion as well. But you know what? We also commune with one another. We don't take communion as a solo act. You don't do it alone. You do it with the church. You do it with your brothers and sisters in Christ because we celebrate our unity in Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for you giving of yourself to die on the cross, to defeat death and sin and evil, to give us life. God, we are grateful. We are grateful that Jesus' body was broken because his life and his death was an example to us. Father, we are grateful for his shed blood on the cross that covers our sins. Father, we can live life without guilt and without shame. Thank you. And Lord, we thank you for the church. We thank you that the death of Jesus has made us one body to represent you out in the world. May we recommit ourselves to that this very day. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.